We're dealing this morning with the persecution of Herod and of Herod's death. You know, when somebody sets out to destroy Christianity, he's making a big mistake. Herod did that, and he paid for it a little later on in his life. Herod Agrippa I began to harass the church by murdering the Apostle James, and then by arresting and imprisoning Peter with the intent of executing him following the Passover. Now, don't be feeling too sorry for James because he got stabbed with a dagger. He got to go to heaven. That wasn't just too bad a consequence of his death. You know what that means? And we have a situation this afternoon where we'll have a graveside service of a lady who dearly loved the Lord and who was seeking to live for him. And the family is all sad, and we understand that because we've all been through it. But she's not at all sad. She's with the Lord and as happy as she's ever been, happier than she's ever been, except for this week. Meanwhile, the believers prayed continuously for Peter. God answered their prayers by sending his angel to release Peter. Following his escape from prison, Peter visited the believers, explained how he had been released, and then went elsewhere. Before long, God caused the death of Herod. Meanwhile, the word of God prospered. And Barnabas and Saul, accompanied by John Mark, returned to Antioch from Jerusalem following the completion of their famine ministry. Now, were they in Jerusalem at the time of James' martyrdom and of Peter's imprisonment? Or is that just an added note that gets you ready for the next chapter? I'm not sure of the answer to that question. If you know the answer to that question, you might share it with me so that I can figure it out. As we go into Acts chapter 12, we will be starting at verse 12, and here's the text. And when he had considered the thing, he came, that's Peter, when he, Peter, had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. He's escaped from prison and he's on his way, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Note the order there. I saw a film once. It was put out by one of these Christian films organizations that said he gave up the ghost and was eaten of worms. His dead body might have been eaten of worms, but his live body was eaten of them before he died. Okay, keep the order in mind. Must have been a pleasant experience for him. Remember what he had done. God took care of him. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, verses 12 through 19 detail events which occurred following Peter's escape from prison. According to verse 12, Peter eventually arrived at the home of John Mark's mother, where a big prayer meeting was taking place. And when he had considered the thing, he being Peter, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. You'll remember Mark. He's the one that wrote the gospel, where many were gathered together praying. And when he had considered the thing is used in conjunction with the word came, indicating time. It's understood in the sense of having, that is, when or after he had perceived or comprehended. Its action occurred before the action of came. Remember, he got out of the prison thinking it was only a dream or a vision. And then he realized it was real and he was on the loose. Now where's he going? Well, he went to the right place. He, meaning Peter, came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. He's the one called Mark. Where many were gathered together praying is where quite a few had gathered together and were praying. They were undoubtedly praying for Peter's safety and release, not realizing that the Lord had already answered their prayers and that Peter was safe and had already been released. Many suggests quite a few. Its actual number is not really known, but it is more than a couple or more than a few. It is believed to be the same house where the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, was served the night before the crucifixion. It's also believed to be the place likely where the apostles were assembled on the day of Pentecost, but we don't know that for certain. Let me ask you a question. Does God answer prayer? Yes, he certainly does. Let me ask you another question. Does God answer our prayers? And the answer is yes, he absolutely does answer our prayers. That means my prayers and your prayers as an individual. Does any of us have a little bit more in with God where we get our prayers answered and the other guy doesn't? No, God has no favorites, and every one of us is first in line when we go to prayer. It doesn't matter who else is praying. What matters is that God hears and answers prayers, but he answers them in accordance with his perfect will. Okay? James was martyred within the will of God. Peter was released within the will of God. We don't know why, but Peter was released. John wasn't. God's will was accomplished. Again, we don't have to know why, and we never will unless God tells us when we get to heaven. And it's okay. We're not in control of the universe. In verse 13, Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and Rhoda cautiously came to listen, to find out who was at the door. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda, and is continuing the narrative in the sense of now. As Peter knocked is used in conjunction with the word came. It may indicate time, a fact in addition to came or cause. It has been translated as indicating time, and it's understood in the sense of when Peter knocked. Its action occurred at the same time as, or slightly before, the action of came. If showing a fact in addition to came, it's understood in the sense of Peter knocked. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that Peter knocked. You understand? It could go a variety of ways. It's called a participle in Greek, which means that it's got a variety of possibilities. Sometimes they're used as verbs, sometimes they're used as nouns, and sometimes they're used as adverbs. How was this one used? Well, probably as an adverb, or else as a direct verb. At the door of the gate, that's enough Greek lesson, by the way, for you today. I don't want to get into that and be too technical with you. As the door of the gate, or at the door of the gate, indicates where Peter knocked. It was apparently an outside door, certainly not the door entering the house. And it would indicate that Mary was a woman of means. Apparently it was a large enough house to have the group in there, and later on, maybe the Last Supper, as well as the day of Pentecost. A damsel came to hearken. A damsel is a female slave. She approached to answer the knock at the door or to open the door. Named Rhoda is with a name Rhoda, or by name Rhoda. And again, I'd like to point out to you that if any of you are looking for names for a new child, why, here's one you might select. You might want to wait till you're sure if it's going to be a boy or a girl, however. Although today, people get the idea with this ultrasound. Back when my children were born, we didn't find out until the doctor told us what they were. We figure he knew. Now, I know in today's society, it's a little bit concerning as to what gender that child really is, even when you can see him or her. According to verse 14, Rhoda recognized Peter's voice, but in her excitement failed to open the gate. I can't imagine how that would have been, but it was that way because the scripture says so. Instead, she ran in and told those praying that Peter was outside at the gate. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. When she knew Peter's voice is used in conjunction with opened, and its action occurred before the action of opened. It's been translated as indicating time. It might instead indicate concession and be understood in the sense of, and although she knew Peter's voice. Knew is used in the sense of recognized. She opened not the gate for gladness. She, of course, is Rhoda. She opened not the gate, meaning the gateway or the entrance, with gladness, or perhaps because of gladness. She's happy to hear Peter's voice. Rather than opening the gate to let Peter in, what Rhoda did is detailed by, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to she opened not the gate for gladness. So she didn't open the gate. Instead, she ran into the house. Ran in is used in conjunction with told, indicating a fact in addition to told. The time of the action ran in occurred before the action of told. You can understand that. She had to get in there before she told them. Told is announced. And what she announced is Peter stood before the gate. That Peter was standing before the gateway or entrance. The tense of stood indicates that Peter had previously taken up a position of standing before the gate and was still standing there. How'd you like to be Peter? You're trying to get away from these soldiers that might be out looking for you, and you can't get in where you're supposed to go. Well, according to verse 15, although the believers were praying for Peter's release, they did not believe it had actually occurred. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It's his angel." And they said unto her, where they refers to those involved in the prayer meeting, and where her refers to Rhoda, introduces how they received the news that their prayers had been answered, and is used to introduce a statement in mild contrast to Rhoda's announcement in the sense of "but." What they said to Rhoda is, "Thou art mad. You're out of your mind. You're crazy." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Good for Rhoda. She stood her ground because she needed to. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to the unbelieving believers telling Rhoda that she was out of her mind. Here you have a group of believers who at this point in time are unbelieving believers. She constantly affirmed, as she insisted or maintained firmly, and its tense denotes continuing or repeated action in past time. What she was repeatedly insisting is that it was even so, that it is so, or that the situation is so. Peter was actually at the door. Why didn't she say, "Go and look"? I don't know. Maybe she did or tried to. Then continues the narrative and is understood in the sense of, "And they said," where "they" is though they, is those in the prayer meeting, other than Rhoda, is they were saying or they were asserting, or they repeatedly said or repeatedly asserted. Its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. It may instead emphasize the very beginning of its action in the sense of they began saying or they began asserting. And what they began saying is, "It is his angel," which is understood in the sense of, "It is his guardian angel." I wonder how long this went on. I don't know, but I'm sure Peter's wishing they'd hurry up and get there. In verse 16, Peter continued knocking. Eventually, they opened the door, and in spite of having prayed for his release, they were amazed to learn that it was Peter. So I ask myself, how many times are believers actually surprised when they learn that God has answered their prayers? How many times have I been surprised when God has answered my prayers? How about you? How many times have you been surprised when God has answered your prayers? I know that can be very convicting, can't it? But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. Bud is introducing a statement in mild contrast to the unbelieving believer's reaction to Rhoda's assertion. Peter continued knocking. But Peter kept on, or but Peter persisted stubbornly, or but Peter persevered in knocking at the door. The tense of continued indicates continued or repeated action in past time. And when they had opened the door is used in conjunction with were astonished, indicating time. Its action occurred at the same time as the action of they were astonished. Suppose their mouths were left open, you know. They, meaning the unbelieving believers, and Rhoda saw him, saw Peter with their own eyes, and they were astonished. They were amazed, or they were astounded. It indicates that the unbelieving believers' response to seeing Peter when they thought he was still in jail. God had answered their prayers. What an amazing thing to realize that God had answered their prayers. You know, it was a good lesson for them and a good lesson for believers at all times. We should be expecting his answers and should be thrilled rather than astonished when we see answers to our prayers, even when his answer is no or not now. Now, if the answer is immediate, it seems that it usually will be yes. It could be immediate, and then we realize it's impossible. The answer is no. You may not know how long it will be before God will actually answer that prayer. Did you know that there's a young lady in this congregation that prayed for a husband 10 years ago, going on 11 now, I suppose, and God didn't give her one? And all of a sudden, last October, she got one, the one she prayed for, who wasn't ready for her yet. He was still married to his first wife. 10 years. Might God answer your prayer 10 years later? You pray for a loved one? You want that loved one saved yesterday. But he might not be saved till his deathbed. You don't know.
Just keep praying.
When God removes the burden, it's okay to stop. But while that burden is there, you just keep praying. But realize, no is an answer that may be God's will. It's all right for God to tell you no. It's also all right for God to tell you not yet. My sons, all four of them, wanted knives or guns when they were young. Too young. My wife's answer was no. My answer was not yet. Did they get guns and knives eventually? Yes, they did. But it wasn't time to give them to a five-year-old. You understand? Sometimes not yet is a good answer. According to verse 17, after Peter explained how the Lord had delivered him from prison, he went elsewhere, apparently realizing that the soldiers would be looking for him. As far as the biblical record is concerned, this verse marks the end of Peter's ministry in Jerusalem, although he will be present during the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. How much more of a ministry he had in the city of Jerusalem is unknown. It's all right not to know it. We don't know everything. God's told us what we need to know. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. I'm guessing he didn't take too long to explain to the people how he had been released from prison. I'm guessing he got out of there as fast as was practical, but introduces a contrast to the believers seeing Peter unexpectedly. It might instead indicate a continuation of the narrative in the sense of and or now or then. Beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace is used in conjunction with declared, indicating time or a fact in addition to declared. Its action occurred before the action I've declared. Yes, they're excited, but it's not a good time for the excitement to get too loud, lest the soldiers hear this disturbance and go looking for him. It's understood in the sense of having beckoned, or having motioned, or having made a sign. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he beckoned, after he motioned, or after he made a sign with the hand, meaning with his hand, to hold their peace, to keep quiet, to say nothing, to be still, to be silent. You might tell your child, hold your peace, meaning shut up, okay? Sometimes they need to hear that it's time to stop talking. We understand that. You may not like the language, shut up. I heard that a lot when I was younger, okay? I guess it's because my sister was always talking. She would dispute that, I'm sure, all right? He declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He declared, suggests he gave a detailed account of, or he told them, or he related, or he described unto them, to them. That is, those who had been praying for his release from prison and deliverance from Herod. What he related was how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He recognized he didn't get there out of there on his own. How is in what way? Peter fully recognized that it was the Lord, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, probably, who was responsible for his escape from prison and gave him full credit. Whether this angel of the Lord was actually Christ or an angel sent by Christ is unknown. But it certainly was the Lord Jesus who was responsible for his release. How he had brought him out of the prison is had led or had conducted him out of the prison. And he, meaning Peter, said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. Go report or announce or tell these things unto James and to the brethren. Is to James and the brothers, which would refer to the believers in the church at Jerusalem who were not in the prayer meeting in Mary's house that night. Which James would this have been? Well, we all know that it could not be James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John, because he had been murdered a few days earlier. It was likely James, the son of Mary and Joseph, and half-brother of Jesus, who is intended rather than James, the son of Alphaeus, even though he was an apostle, because the son of Alphaeus does not seem to have ever attained the sort of importance in the church at Jerusalem that James, the half-brother of Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, had attained. James seems, the half-brother of Jesus seems to be the James that is the pastor of the church during the Jerusalem Council in chapter 15. My guess is that that's the James rather than the son of Alphaeus. That's a guess. We don't know it for certain. All we know is the name James. And he, meaning Peter, departed and went into another place where he wouldn't be found. He departed as used in conjunction with went, indicating a fact in addition to went. It's understood in the sense of he went out or he went away and he went into another place, suggests that Peter went somewhere else where he would not be found. It's not stated where he went. So speculation regarding that is useless. We don't need to know where he went. They didn't know where he went. But he went somewhere, and he was protected by the Lord. Another place implies another place of a different sort. According to verse 18, just as soon as it was light enough to see, the soldiers were trying to figure out where Peter was. As soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. Now continues the narrative, but takes it in a slightly different direction. As soon as it was day, is used in conjunction with the word was, indicating time. It is literally day having come. And it's understood in the sense of when it was day, when it became day, or when day came. There was no small stir among the soldiers, means that there was a big stir among the soldiers. Was suggests continuing action in past time. This was an ongoing matter. Stir speaks of a state of mental agitation, and it's understood in the sense of commotion or disturbance. No small stir is not a little stir, not a little commotion, or not a little disturbance among the soldiers. Indicates the group of people who were stirred up or involved in the commotion. Peter had to be somewhere, but none of them had any idea where he was or how he got out of there. It was a matter of life and death for the soldiers, because they were well aware that if their prisoner escaped, they would be executed. A word which appears in the Greek text was not translated into the English text. It expresses something tentatively in the sense of possibly or conceivably. What was become of Peter is what had possibly or what had conceivably become of Peter. In verse 19, Herod ordered the execution of the soldiers who had been guarding Peter, and then Herod left for Caesarea. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers. It's used in conjunction with commanded, indicating time. The actions of sought for, found, and examined all occurred before the action of commanded. Herod, of course, is Herod Agrippa I, the grandson of Herod the Great. And when Herod had sought for him, meaning sought for Peter, is and Herod having, or after Herod had sought for him and had searched for him, or had sought diligently for him and found him not, and, or but, not having, or after he had not found, or after he had not discovered him, Herod examined the keepers. It's been translated as showing a fact in addition to commanded, if showing time. It is understood in the sense of having, or after he had examined, judged, or interrogated the keepers, meaning the guards. And commanded that they, meaning the keepers or guards, should be put to death. He ordered them to be led away to execution. He apparently did not believe what they said and had them executed for dereliction of duty. Now, I don't know the answer to this next thing. I don't believe I put it in your notes. How many of the soldiers were executed? Whether it was all 16 of the soldiers who were guarding Peter around the clock, or only the four who were on duty when Peter escaped, is not stated. I presume it was only the four rather than all 16 of them, but my presumption may not be correct, and I recognize that. We simply don't know. And he, meaning Herod, went down from Judea to Caesarea. It's used in conjunction with abode, indicating a fact in addition to abode or time. It's been translated as showing a fact in addition to abode, and its tense indicates that his action occurred before the action of the abode. He had to go down there before he could stay there. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he had gone down from Judea to Caesarea, and there abode. There he was abiding. He was spending time staying or remaining. The tense of abode indicates continuing action in past time. Verses 20 to 23 record the death of Herod. Verse 20 indicates the circumstances preceding Herod's death. Herod was unhappy with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they attempted to settle things peacefully with Herod because Galilee, which was ruled over by Herod, provided grain for them. Although Herod did not realize it, it should be realized that Herod was living on borrowed time as the result of what he had done to the apostle James, what he had attempted to do to Peter, and what he had attempted to do with the message of the gospel. It was only a matter of time before God rewarded him, and you can take it to the bank that when people do what he did to the believers and attempt to stamp out Christianity, they will not succeed. Now, they might live a long time, but they will not succeed, and it will not be good for them. It would be better for them to become believers and to live for the Lord and promote the gospel. Anyway, verse 20, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And introduces a continuation of the narrative, but takes it in a slightly different direction in the sense of now. Herod, of course, is Herod Agrippa I, the grandson of Herod the Great, was highly displeased with, suggests, continuing action in the pastime in the sense of was very angry with or was exasperated with. Them of Tyre and Sidon are the Tyrians. I don't think that's Tyrians, but I'm not sure how you mispronounce that word. And Sidonians, residents of or inhabitants of Tyre and Sidon. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. They, meaning them of Tyre and Sidon, or at least their representatives, came with one accord to him, meaning to Herod. Came is were present or had come. With one accord is with one mind or with one purpose or with one impulse. And connects came with desired peace. Now they've got a method that they're going to use in order to get what they want. Suppose the politics were any different back then than they are now? You can't trust what they say in politics today. I don't care which party they're from. You got to be careful. Go by what the scripture says. Don't worry too much about the politics. Having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend is used in conjunction with desired, indicating the means by which they made their approach to the king. They didn't go to him directly. They went to him through some other way. You'd be shocked at how many times people wanted me to do something and they came to me by means of my first wife. Did it work? I can assure you that the answer to that is a two-letter word. Starts with N. You can guess the second letter. If I realized it, they did not get it. They needed to come to me. That's all. Don't try it with my present wife, okay? She's sharp. She'll know. Come to me directly. I am approachable. People say, you can't talk to that guy. I've never had anybody that tried say that about me that I know of. Having made Blastus the king chamberlain their friend is used in conjunction with desired, indicating the means by which they made their approach to the king. It's understood in the sense of by having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend. The action of having made occurred before the action of desired. Having made their friend is understood in the sense of by having gained the favor of or by having won over. The name of the man they gained favor with was Blastus. I guess his parents thought they had a real blast when they had him, right? I don't know. That's an interesting name in English. How the he was the king's chamberlain. What is that? He was the one in charge of the king's bedchamber or bedroom. I didn't know they had people in charge of their bedrooms. I prefer to have that charge myself, okay? But I wasn't a king, and they didn't want me to be their king. I wasn't old enough to be their king either. Desired speaks of continuing or repeated action in the sense of we're asking for or were desiring. And what they were desiring was peace or harmony. They wanted hostilities with Herod to cease. Now, that's a good motive, but maybe there was a better approach. We don't know. This was not necessarily the best approach, but it got God's attention, and God used it to kill Herod. What they were desiring was peace. They wanted hostilities to cease. Their motive was that Herod's with having peace with Herod's country is because their country was nourished by the king's country. Their country or their region speaks of Tyre and Sidon and the rural areas surrounding them. Was nourished by suggests was supported or suggests supported itself by or was supported by importing grain from the king's country, meaning from Herod's country. It was to their economic advantage to appease Herod. In verse 21, Herod made a speech unto those from Tyre and Sidon. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration to them. And continues the narrative, but takes it in a slightly different direction in the sense of now. Upon a set day is on an appointed day, on an arranged day, or on a fixed day. Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, is Herod dressed in or clothed in or wearing royal clothing? It is referring to King Herod's royal robe. Sat upon his throne is used in conjunction with made an oration, indicating a fact in addition to made an oration or time. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to made an oration. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of made an oration. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he sat on his throne. The word translated throne is referring to a speaker's platform on which a chair or throne had been placed from which he would address the assembly that had gathered. You notice the people were standing. They didn't have chairs supplied for them. And he was seated. We've got it backwards in our churches today. I'm standing. And you're seated. You're seated on comfortable pews. Somehow the pews I used to sit on when I was growing up didn't have any padding. And they became uncomfortable after a while. Why don't we reverse this? I sit down, I do the speaking, and we get rid of the pews and you just stand there. No, I don't think so. I like it this way personally, okay? But I do find it interesting, all right? The speaker sat down while the people stood. He made an oration. He was delivering a public address, meaning he was addressing a public assembly or was making a speech to the people. To them refers to the people of Tyre and Sidon who had gathered to listen to him, meaning to Herod. In verse 22, the people wishing to please Herod attributed deity to him. Now, they weren't trying to get God to kill him. They were just trying to get him to loosen up the grain so that they could have the grain supplied by Herod's country. But God had a different use for what they were doing. Once again, Anne continues the narrative, but takes it in a slightly different direction. The people is the crowd or the populace gave a shout. They were crying out loudly. You suppose they were set up to do this in advance? Of course they were. You remember the inauguration day of the president, or the speech that he was giving before members of both parties, how the one sat down there with what looked like ping pong paddles with faces on them and words on them, and they wouldn't stand up for anything, and the other one stood up for everything. Were they set up in advance? Of course they were. Did they get what they wanted? No. No, good for him. They gave a shout. They were crying out loudly. They were crying out repeatedly, calling over and over. And its voice indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. They were saying, it is, has been supplied by the translators, as has saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. It's a God's voice, not a man's, not a human being's voice. Suppose that gave him the big head. Oh, I'm sure it did. People were getting what they wanted. God got what he wanted too. According to verse 23, the angel of the Lord struck him with the result that he died. And immediately, did he finish his speech? And I don't know the answer to that question. Immediately, that instant, while he was admiring what they were saying, that's my guess. He may not have finished the speech, or he may have finished it in great pain. Immediately, at once, the angel of the Lord smote him or struck him. Why? Because he, Herod, gave not God the glory, indicates the reason the angel of the Lord struck him. You don't suppose it might also have had to do with something that he had done to James, or caused to be done to James and Peter and others? Perhaps to getting rid of the gospel? Could be. Because he gave not God the glory. Glory speaks of honor or praise. What was said of Herod by the crowd should have been reserved for God, but Herod apparently did not seek to discourage the crowd from attributing deity to him. And he was eaten of worms. It's used in conjunction with gave up the ghost, indicating a fact in addition to gave up the ghost. It means he was eaten by worms. I wonder what kind of worms they were. I don't know. But I'm sure that they enjoyed their meal. Its action occurred before the action of gave up the ghost, and it suggests that his being eaten by worms was the cause of his death. And gave up the ghost means he breathed his last, or he died. According to Josephus, and this may or may not be accurate, Herod died 5 days after the Lord struck him. The year of Herod's death is well set and established as AD 44. According to verse 24, although Herod died, the word of God prospered, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to Herod's having been eaten by worms and dying. He had murdered James and had attempted to murder Peter and to squelch the message they were proclaiming, but he met his own death instead. The word of God is the gospel message which the believers were proclaiming. The death of James and the jailing of Peter had no effect on the spread of the gospel message. Grew, as was growing or was increasing, and its tense denotes continuing action in past time. Multiplied suggests was multiplying, was growing, or was increasing. Its tense likewise denotes continuing action in past time. For emphasis, Luke uses two words, both of which mean approximately the same thing. Herod died, but Christianity prospered. Some of you are about my age. You know, I won't tell you how old I am. I am what I am because I was born on the day of God's choosing, which means my age is right in the center of God's will for my life, just like yours is. But back in about 1956, I was just entering high school, and all of a sudden, 5 missionaries were martyred by the Aucca Indians. Do you know that had a real strong effect on Manny, my age, about surrendering to serve the Lord? And I was one of those, as was my wife. When we learned of that, we determined that God wanted us to prepare to go out to the mission field as Bible translators and continue the work these men had started. Now, that directed us to go to college and study Greek. But before that plan fully developed, God convinced me that I was supposed to be a pastor doing verse-by-verse preaching, okay? Expository preaching. And so God did use that in my life and in many others at that same time. What is he doing in today's world but raising people to go out and serve him in some way? How he does it is up to him. But it happened in my life. It happened back here. James' death stimulated the believers. You can believe it. And so did Herod's imprisoning Peter. In verse 25, Barnabas and Saul completed their ministry of aid as a result of the famine and headed back to Antioch from Jerusalem, accompanied by John Mark. This verse seems like it goes more with chapter 13. You do know the story, don't you? Somebody was out riding his horse and he's reading the scripture, which didn't have any chapter divisions, and every time the horse stopped, he marked it, and that was the chapter division. I'm sure that's not true, but that's the story that's out there. Anyway, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And continues the narrative and introduces a slight change of direction in the sense of now, then, or so. Barnabas and Saul, that's Saul became Paul the Apostle, returned from Jerusalem. They'd been in Jerusalem as part of the trip where they delivered relief to the elders in Judea. The relief was needed because of the famine. Now they are seen returning from Jerusalem to Antioch. When or after they fulfilled their ministry is used in conjunction with return, indicating time. Its action occurred before the action of return. Their ministry was delivering relief to the elders and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And it's used in conjunction with return, indicating a fact in addition to return. And took with them, took along with them John, the one called Mark. So, were they in Jerusalem when James was killed? And were they in Jerusalem when Peter was imprisoned and then released? I don't know. I don't know that anybody knows. Maybe they were on their way back before these things happened. We don't have any way of knowing. In Acts 12, we've seen King Herod Agrippa seek to destroy the church in Jerusalem by killing 2 of its leaders. How many more believers he may have killed or intended to kill is unknown. He succeeded in killing the apostle James and seized Peter with the intent of having him executed. We've also seen that God killed King Herod, but the church survived and prospered, and the gospel message continued to spread. We've also seen that believers prayed, and somehow they didn't believe God had answered their prayers. Let's be careful that we recognize that God hears and answers our prayers when our hearts are right with him. Let's stay right with him, and let's get excited when we see answers to the prayers that we have prayed because God has answered them. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the privilege we have in coming and studying this portion of thy word. Help us always to love thee and live for thee and pray, knowing that you hear and answer our prayers, even though the answers may be no or not now. Thank you for these dear folks. Meet their needs. If any of them are unsaved, I pray they'll understand the gospel and trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.